Today's message comes from the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to be reading from the second chapter, verses 10 through 13. And I want you to realize this. If you don't, I hope that after today you will. Today is the fifth day of Christmas. It is still Christmas. Okay? It is still Christmas in the Christian year until the 6th of January. That's where partially where the song comes from, the 12 days of Christmas. And one of the reasons that Christmas is celebrated more than just one day is because it's very hard to get our heads wrapped around the idea of what it means that God comes as a child into this world. And so we have 12 days to spend some time thinking about that, wondering about that, pondering upon what does that mean. So from the book of Hebrews today, let me read these words, chapter 2, starting in verse 10 down through verse 13. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. What a great blessing it is to have these words and to realize and see that we can see a little bit deeper into what Jesus walking here upon earth actually means. And I know one of the things that's hardest for us is we believe oftentimes as Christians that we're not supposed to suffer and that suffering should not be a part of the Christian walk. I want you to understand that Jesus did suffer. And he suffered for us. And the writer of Hebrews, which we don't know who it was for sure, the writer of Hebrews says, then in the 10th verse, he says, God should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Sometimes the word in Greek for perfect means mature, more complete, more finished. And that's the way I kind of think about this suffering. Suffering does complete and make things more finished sometimes. Because as we suffer, and as we're going to see here what happened for Jesus, as we suffer, we should use that opportunity to draw closer to God. So many people, when they suffer, they question whether God really loves them. They question that. But suffering should help us to turn to God, not away from God. And by the way, I do not believe that God wants us or God causes all the suffering on us. I believe that the suffering is done by the evil that's in this world already. When sin entered this world, it disrupted some things. Okay? And sin still has an effect. And somebody else's sin can make me suffer, even though it's theirs, not mine. But one of the things I want you to notice here that the writer of Hebrews says is that Jesus is the trailblazer of the Christian spiritual journey. Jesus is the first. And the way it's written here is that he's the pioneer. He's the one that goes out before everyone else. He is the trailblazer. He's the one that goes and walks that path first. And parts of Scripture talk about Jesus being the firstborn, the first fruits. He's the one that goes out first. This brings a lot of things to my mind as I look at it and as I think about it. Because if Jesus is the trailblazer, Jesus is the pioneer, Jesus is the one who goes out in front, if we're going to walk with Jesus, guess what? We got to move forward. You can't stay where you are as Jesus trailblazes a new path for us. You can't stay where you are and say, I'm okay with this. The status quo is okay. Jesus is a trailblazer who is going out in front of us. And if we want to remain with Jesus, we need to go out with him. We need to follow the path that he is blazing for us. If he's the pioneer and moving into a new promised land, we need to move with him to go to that promised land. And I want to emphasize this because so many times people in churches say what? I don't like change. Jesus does not stay in one place. Jesus is about moving forward. Jesus is about telling his disciples what? Follow me. We've got to get up and move along with him if he is the trailblazer, if he is the pioneer. Now, there's three quotes here that I want to explain to you that are in this passage, quoted from the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. In Psalm 22, 22, we have these words, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. That comes from Psalm 22. And if you are a biblical scholar, you know that Jesus also quoted Psalm 22 upon the cross, where he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he, as he says those words upon the cross, because people were part of the synagogues and part of the religious, they knew that he was quoting Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 is about, God, where are you? As Jesus hangs upon the cross, when our sins are placed upon him, that sin separates Jesus from God. Scripture tells us that sin separates us from what? When he received our sins, he no longer could look up and commune with God. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here he says, and this is thought of as he said this before he left heaven. So if you think about the context of him saying this quote from Psalm 22 while he's still in heaven, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. Jesus in heaven is saying what? I am going to leave heaven. I am going to come to earth, and I will sing the praises of God. And I will declare to the people what God wants. So Jesus' journey began in heaven, where he declared that he would tell all people, that he would let all people know about God. He says, I'm going to go, and I'm going to let them know about you. Okay, he declared in heaven before he left, and this is putting the words of Psalm 22, verse 22, into the mouth of Jesus, where he says, I'm going to the earth and I'm going to declare to the people, God, your plan, your salvation, and what you have for them if they will trust. Which leads us right into that second quote. And the second quote comes from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17, I believe it is, where he says, I will put my trust in him. While Jesus walks here upon the earth, he has no choice but to put his full trust in God because the religious authorities, Satan, and everything else is opposing him the whole time he's walking here on earth. So, something that we need to understand. Jesus was fully human and fully divine as he walked on earth. His life required full trust in God because of that. Sometimes it's very easy for us to kind of lean over to the side. Well, he's God. He understands. He gets it. He knows. He has no problem with all of that. And I want to say to you, yes, he does have a problem with it at times. Because the human side of him says, I'm not sure I want to do this. If you remember him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he takes three of his disciples off and he walks a distance from them. And as he goes a distance from them, he says to them, God, if there is any way that this can be rectified without me going to the cross, please do it. And he comes back to the disciples, and what does he find out they're doing? They're sleeping. And he goes off and he says the same thing again. Lord, may this cup, meaning the cup of the cross, the suffering that he's about to undergo, may this cup pass from me. And God says, no. You see, his trust has to be fully in God. And we see throughout Jesus' life, time and time and time again, what does he do? He goes off and spends time alone. Why is he doing that? He's doing that because he needs a deeper connection with God. He's doing that because he's trying to deepen his trust in what God has for him the next day, the very next moment. He's having to develop more and more trust in Jesus, or Jesus is having to develop more trust in God. He's actually walking. One of the things I like about Jesus coming is that when he comes, he walks the path that he wants us to walk and shows us if we will put our trust in God, we can walk that path. So many times I hear people say, this being a disciple thing is just too hard. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That doesn't mean you should back up from it and say, I'm not going to do it. Because Jesus says, if you do that, I will deny that I know you. If you back up from being a disciple, I will deny that I know you in front of God. Those are pretty harsh words, aren't they? There's no little added clip next to the bottom of it that says, except for. Except for if you find this too hard, you don't have to do it. No. Because Jesus says time and time again, the way to heaven is narrow. It's difficult. It's hard. One of the articles that I read here, I know in the past week, which I was very, very impressed by, it was an editorial, an opinion piece in the New York Times. And I'm trying to remember who the author was, and I'm not just positive, so I'm not going to try to give you his name. I think it was, yep, that guy. He said, Christianity is dangerous to live. Christianity is hard to live. And he went on to continue to say that. And I was very, very impressed by the article. Because he was saying what the Bible says about being a Christian. And sometimes we make it too easy. Because we're not willing to place our full trust in God. Sometimes we make it too easy because we're not willing to do what God asks us to do. Oh, that's outside my comfort zone. God never asked you if it was in or outside your comfort zone. God said, do. Matter of fact, knowing God as I know God and have walked with God for many years, God's always going to ask you to do something outside your comfort zone. God is a big God. And God does not come and ask you to do small things. God asks you to do big things, which require then for us to put trust in God. God, if this is the place that you want me to walk, if this is the journey you want me to take, I'm going to have to trust you on this because I know I can't do it. You've got to come to that place. You cannot control the spiritual journey that God wants you to walk. And so many people try to do that. They're going to control it. They're going to make sure it's right. They're going to make sure it's comfortable for them. They're going to make sure it's easy. And what does it say about Christ? He brought our salvation through suffering. And we're trying not to participate in that. Is that where Christ wants us to walk? You see, we have to trust God fully if we're going to walk the spiritual journey that God wants us to walk. And Jesus shows us that it's possible if we will trust God and we will walk that journey. I guess what I want you to think about, and I've asked people for many, many years to think about this. If you don't walk the journey that God has for you, you will miss out on blessings. Now, how many of you right now would want to pray to God and say, God, I've had enough blessings my whole life, I don't need any more? That just sounds silly, doesn't it? But when you don't walk the spiritual path that God has designed for you and God's calling you into, that's what you're doing. You're saying, don't bless me anymore. I don't want any more blessings. That's uncomfortable for me to walk that way. God, I don't want any more blessings. That's what you're saying. Now, you may not be using those words, but it all goes back to you're not trusting as Jesus did. Jesus trusted God that this was the right path. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed three times, let this cup pass from me. What did he end up doing? He said, I will accept the cup. I will. And he had to trust God that it was going to work then. It was difficult for him to take that step. Now, the third quote here that also comes from Isaiah chapter 8. Some think these are the words of Jesus as he returns back to heaven. Here am I and the children God has given me. Presenting us who walk faithfully with God, with Jesus on this spiritual journey, presenting us to God back in heaven one day. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? Because that's the way I kind of think about it. I get to heaven and I know there's going to be a trial when I stand before God. And God's going to say, bring that book out of all his sins. And I don't think it's a one-volume book, by the way. I think it's more like a set of encyclopedias. And God says, start reading aloud. And as they read aloud, Jesus steps forward and says, wait a minute. He trusted. He understood the path that I walked and knew that that path could bring him salvation. He trusted. Stop reading the book. Now, isn't that a wonderful defense lawyer? I really see that something like that's going to happen because Scripture does say there'll be a judgment for all people. And fortunately, I think for us, it's going to stop. As Jesus steps forward and says, here am I and the child that God has given me. And Jesus is going to say that on your behalf. If you will live the path that God wants you to live. Not if you live your own path. You see, if we lived our own path and we could achieve salvation that way, then why did Jesus need to come? Jesus came because we can't do it. But there's so many people in this world that are trying to prove they can do it without Jesus. I did it twice in my life. And I remember hearing very clearly the second time God saying to me in the presence of somebody else, it was obvious they didn't hear it, "Okay, Tim, you've tried to live your own way a second time in your life. Are you willing to trust me?" Because if you do, I'll walk with you. And you see, that's what Jesus wants to do. He's a trailblazer that goes out in front of us. You see, by Jesus' suffering, we can be made holy if we place our trust in Him. That's the only way. I can't steer away from that. I can't say that there's other ways to get to God. Because Jesus says on His last night, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father except through Me." And if I say there's other ways to get to God, then I have to admit that Jesus was lying when He said that. He says, "I'm the only way." He is the trailblazer. He's the one that's gone before us. He says, "I will proclaim God's name. I will trust in God as I walk upon this earth," so that people can see how to do that. And one day, for those who trust in Me, I will present them back to God as children of God. You see, because when we trust fully in Him, when we do, Jesus will present us to God as a full member of the heavenly family. As a full member. But it means you got to be willing to follow this trailblazer. It means you got to be willing to go places that maybe you didn't want to go. And step in directions that you don't feel comfortable about stepping. And you only live and exist when you trust in God. And by the way, some of you may say to me, "Well, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not." Book of 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, says, Paul writes to the Corinthian church, "God chose the foolish of the earth to make the wise look silly." It says it very clearly. So when you tell me I'm not good enough to walk the path that God wants me to walk, one of the reasons that God wants you to walk that path is because it makes people who think they can do it on their own look foolish. It shows them that trying to live on their own is very, very foolish, because they think they got it figured out already. Paul says God chooses the weak of the earth to walk as disciples. So when you tell me, "I can't follow Jesus that way," God chose you specifically to do that. Because then you have to trust in God to walk that way. You can't do it on your own. So I want to leave you with this question. How will you open yourself further to know your full place in God's kingdom? How will you open yourself fuller in a more complete way? How will you go, just God, use me wherever you wish, and I'll just trust you and I'll walk with you? How do you need to do that? Because I'm convinced if even five of us do that in a complete and a full way, this town will be changed. Imagine if 30 of us do that. What could happen to this town, this state, this country? What could happen to our world if we were to fully just trust God and walk the path, even if we're hesitant, walk the path that God has for us? I know there's such a deep understanding in Baptist life that this aisle right here is for one thing and one thing only, for people joining the church. No, it's not. We've made it that way. Sometimes people need to come forward and ask for forgiveness. Sometimes people need to come forward and rededicate their lives, and we've had people do that. Sometimes people need to come forward and say, God is working on my heart, but I just don't know the next step to take. Will you pray for me? There's not a single one of you here today, myself included, that can't open up further to what God wants them to do. Not a single one of us. And by the way, I'll give you a little bit of a secret. Being a member of the church doesn't get you into heaven. Attending church doesn't get you into heaven. Neither one of those things. Being willing to trust God and walk the path that you're not sure you want to walk with Jesus is what gets you into heaven. If it's uncomfortable and people are fighting against you to do it, that may very well be what God's asking you to do. How do you need to open up to God? Let's pray. Lord, it truly is, and I appreciate writers who have written it. It's not easy to be your disciple. Not only does our own will fight against it at times, our own desire to control things, not only does the world fight against it and try to show us Christianity lives a different way. And Lord, we know that in the spiritual realm, there's many fights against us to walk as disciples. So as we come this morning, help us to see what we need to do. Because everyone here today, whether they're present here in the sanctuary or watching on Facebook, everyone here needs to take another step. Lord, help us to see what that step is and to take that step. That not only might we transform, but the community that this church exists in might transform incredibly. Lord, thank you for our pioneer and trailblazer, Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.